Good morning. It's a beautiful day that God has given us. We had a little rain last night. This morning was beautiful sunshine. And you can't help but appreciate the beautiful world that God has made, that has given us to live in, to work in, and on a morning like this, to be in his house where we can worship him. And I would like to welcome everyone this morning, and I would like to greet you with the words we find in Ephesians, where Paul writes, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Let us bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beautiful day you have blessed us with. We thank you for the beautiful world that you have made, given us to live in, to work in, and on a morning like this, the opportunity and privilege we have as have to be in your house where we can worship you, we can sing, we can pray, and we can learn from the scripture that you will be read and the message that will be brought. And we thank you that we can do this in peace, with no interruptions, no opposition. We are free to do and worship as you direct us to. And we pray that your spirit will be with us this morning. You will lead us in our prayers and our thoughts. Lord, we pray also for those who cannot be here. We pray for the sick in the hospitals, the elderly in seniors' homes. We pray for especially for those who may be struggling with their faith or with other difficulties. And we pray that we can encourage each other. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
the Gospel of Luke, verse 28, Jesus says, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." He says, those that hear the word of God and keep it, they are blessed. Now, over the years, it has happened on occasion that I've been asked to officiate at a funeral. For the most part, I would know the person that has passed away. Sometimes I did not. Over the years, we have also attended numerous funerals where I did not officiate. These were for friends that we had made over the years, family members or extended family members that we had grown up with but had passed away. And unfortunately, many of those family members were younger than we were. And I found that kind of difficult sometimes when they pass away so young. Now, I don't want to talk about funerals today or this morning, but the ones that I officiated at, for the most part, I knew them, but sometimes, like I said, I did not know them. And on more than one occasion, I could not help but wonder, what happened to that person that was laying there in the casket? Yes, I know that the body was put in there, the casket was put into a grave, and it was buried, and it was finished. But what about the soul? What happened to the soul of that person that was just buried? And I also know that it is not for me to say this morning, or it is not for me to say this morning whether or not that person had faith or whether he did not. But this morning I'm going to talk about those who I know had faith before they passed away. And in Luke chapter 11, Jesus talks about being blessed. So I want to talk about how blessed we are when we have faith in God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, I would like to mention that it is not something that we inherit. Our ancestors may all have had faith, but that does not mean that we have it. It is a decision that we make between ourselves and God. Every single one of us has to make that decision ourselves, whether we want to accept the faith that God has to offer us or whether we do not want to. So for the first part of my message this morning, I'm going to talk about Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus talks about the characteristics of some of those who are blessed because of their faith. And then for the second part, I want to talk about a letter that Paul wrote to a church that he started to, and he wrote a letter to the Ephesians where he talks about what it means to be blessed because of our faith. So if we turn to Matthew chapter 5, read how Jesus went up into a mountain with his disciples. In verse 1 and 2 of Matthew 5, we read, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. When he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying," and he talks about being blessed. Now, the rest of this chapter, but the next few verses of this chapter, we know as the Beatitudes. And this is where Jesus talks about being blessed. But the first question we can ask is, what does it mean to be blessed? Well, one meaning is to receive a favor from someone or something. And we can be blessed by many things. It can be financial. We can be blessed by finances. We can be blessed by being honored and admired by others. We can be blessed by enjoying the pleasures that are there God has to offer us. We can be blessed by many things. But in this chapter, Jesus is talking about being blessed by the inner peace we have because of our faith in God and what he has promised us in eternity. So who then is blessed? Well, in verse 3, it talks about the poor in spirit. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, to be poor means to have nothing or very little and to depend on someone else for survival or for what we need. When I think back to my younger years, we had to depend on others, sometimes for clothing, for food, because we had no money. We were poor. I don't know if we knew it at the time, but financially we were not too well off. And we depended on the neighbors to share what they had and they didn't need. So to be poor financially, we had to depend on others. But in this case, in Matthew 5, verse 3, it has nothing to do with our finances. It means to be spiritually poor. To be poor in spirit means to realize how destitute. Excuse me. To be spiritually poor means to realize how destitute we are on our own, and that we must depend totally on God for our spiritual well-being. Verse 4 says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's pretty difficult to relate being blessed when we are in mourning. To mourn means to feel or express grief. And how can we be blessed by our grief? And why are we grieving? It may be because of the loss of a loved one. And especially if the loved one passed away before we think they should have. There's grief. It can be because of very difficult times that we are going through. And the question we can ask, how can Jesus say we are blessed when we are going through such times that are so difficult? But in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus says he was sent to heal the brokenhearted, to heal those that are mourning. And that healing is a blessing. But to mourn also means to suffer the guilt of sin. And the only way to overcome that is through repentance. And God is willing to forgive whatever we repent of. And an example of that we find when Jesus was arrested before he was crucified, it tells us that all his disciples forsook him and fled. But the Apostle Peter was very curious as to what they were going to do with Jesus, so he went and followed the crowds that took Jesus, as he wanted to see what they would do with him. And as he is watching, someone came to him and says, "Aren't you one of those that were with him?" "No," he says, "no, I don't know. I don't know him." Three times Peter was asked, "Aren't you one of those?" The third time Peter swore and said, "No, I do not even know the man." Well, then it tells us that the cock crew, and it also tells us in Luke that Jesus turned and he looked at Peter. And then Peter realized what he had done. He had denied his Savior. And what did he do? He went into some serious mourning. It says he went out and he cried bitterly. He repented of what he had done. Was he forgiven? Yes, he was. And he became one of the most prominent disciples after Jesus ascended back to heaven. So here in verse 4, it says that they that mourn shall be comforted, because God has promised to forgive sin upon repentance. And God always keeps his promise. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, to be meek does not mean to be weak. It means to have our strength under control of God, to trust God and surrender to his authority, even though we may not always understand it. It also means to show gentleness to others. Verse 5 says, the meek will inherit the earth that God has promised to those that know him. Verse 6, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now we all know what it means to be hungry and thirsty. It will happen to all of us today. And when it does, we will eat something and we will drink till we are satisfied. That's a physical hunger and thirst. But to hunger and thirst after righteousness means to have a desire to know God's word and to live according to it. To conform to the standards that we find written in scriptures. And if we do that, we will be satisfied. Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. To be merciful means to be kind and compassionate, especially to someone under our power, someone who we have influence over. It means to be kind, forgiving, and helpful, especially to the poor and the needy. And an example of that also find in Scripture, but where we have the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. Jesus is asked, who is my neighbor? And he gives us the parable of a man who is almost beaten to death, laying on the side of the road. Several people came and walked by. Some looked at him. Others did not. They just left him there. But then along came the Samaritan. He looked after his wounds. He took him to a place where he could be cared for. And he even paid for this care that this man needed. This Samaritan had mercy. Mercy on someone who he could have left there, but he did not. Now, other examples of mercy can also be, if we see someone in financial difficulties, should we help them? If we see someone who is struggling emotionally, do we have the ability to help them? Is there someone who needs spiritual help? Or maybe someone who just needs a listening ear because they are struggling with different things? There are many ways to show mercy to others. Verse 8, blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. Only God can create a pure heart in us. He did that through the blood of his Son that died on the cross. We only become pure in heart when we acknowledge our sin, it is forgiven and remembered no more. Then one day we will see God and stand before him with a pure heart. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now it is easy to be confrontational, to participate in strife, especially when we are convinced that we are right. But being a peacemaker means to be actively resolve conflict through reconciliation. And we may also sometimes have to admit that maybe we were not so right. To be a peacemaker may require an acknowledgement of wrongdoing and asking for forgiveness. To be a peacemaker also may mean to restore broken relationships. But true peace only comes when we have a relationship with God. And only those who have a desire to spread the gospel of truth and love that comes from God are peacemakers. Being a peacemaker also means to make peace within ourselves, between ourselves and others, and between ourselves and God. Then we will be called the children of God. Verse 10 and 11, these verses I find very interesting. Verse 10 talks about persecution. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness. Righteousness means to conform to a standard of that which is morally right according to Scripture. But that standard may not always agree with the society that we live in. But to be persecuted means to be harassed with cruel, oppressive treatment because of race, religion, or our beliefs. We may be persecuted if we refuse to participate in something that is accepted by society but is taught by Scripture to be morally wrong. Verse 11, again it talks about persecution. says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake." This verse talks about being persecuted not because of our own character or our own characteristics, but because of our faith in Christ Jesus. And an example of that we find in the book of Acts, where the Apostle Paul persecuted the church to the death. And he says that himself in chapter 22. "I persecuted the Christians to the death." Yet we all know the story of when he went to Damascus on the road. Jesus appeared to him as a light. And when Paul fell to the ground, Jesus said to him, "Paul," at the time his name was Saul, Jesus said to him, "Why persecutest thou me?" Why did Jesus not say, "Why are you persecuting all those Christians in those churches?" No, he doesn't. He says, "Why persecutest thou me?" He asks Saul, "Why are you persecuting him?" And why did he do that? Saul's focus was on his refusal to acknowledge Jesus Christ until he was on the road to Damascus and Jesus appeared to him as a light. Saul had grown up, he knew all about Jesus' coming. He was educated in the church, he knew the Old Testament, all the laws. But there's one thing that he refused to acknowledge until he met Jesus on the way to Damascus. He refused to acknowledge Jesus Christ. And when he acknowledged him, he asked, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And he became one of the greatest apostles that wrote many parts of Scripture. Then in verse 12, Jesus says, "Rejoice, be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Here are some verses that talk about the characteristics we need to be blessed. And no matter how pleasant or how difficult our life may be, we may rejoice that we have faith, and because of our faith, we are promised with being blessed with the promise of eternity. Now, those words were spoken by Jesus. I also want to talk about how blessed we are in a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians. But first, let us go to God in prayer. So those that are able, let us kneel in silent prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Read on page 362. What blessedness, what comfort, sweet. Page 362.
Thank you.
I've just talked about Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus talks about some of the characteristics of people who are blessed because of their faith. And another meaning, and I find it interesting, if you look up the meaning blessed, there's many meanings that are attached to it. And another meaning that is attached to the word blessed is to enjoy the happiness of heaven. And what is interesting, or what I find very interesting, is that in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is talking to people for whom he has not yet died. Now, I don't know if we can identify with that, because Jesus has come and gone many years, thousands of years ago. He has died for our sins. But in Matthew chapter 5, he is talking to people he had not died for yet. He was at that time, he was at the beginning of his ministry. He had just been baptized by John the Baptist. He had chosen his disciples. And together with them, he taught in the synagogues. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. And he prepared them for the time that he would go to the cross for them. But in that time, he also became famous. In Matthew chapter 4, it tells us in verse 24, he went about all Galilee, teaching in his synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria and all the country round about. So he became famous, and people flocked to him to hear him, not only to be healed by him, but also to hear him speak. And in chapter 5, he has gone up into a mountain to preach to the multitudes that followed him to hear him speak. But now I want to go to the book of Ephesians. Jesus has already been crucified. He was risen from the dead. He has ascended back to heaven. And as I mentioned before, the Apostle Paul accepted him on the way to Damascus. And as an apostle and a missionary, Paul wrote a letter to the church that he started in the city of Ephesus. And he is talking to people who have their faith in God because of what Jesus did on the cross for them. Now, I don't know if anyone here has ever been to the city of Ephesus. It is no longer an inhabited city, but we were there a few years ago. We went back to the Bible, to some of the places that Paul had been at. And we went to this place called Ephesus, and it's an amazing place. They have restored about 20% of the city, because it apparently was destroyed by an earthquake at one time. And Dr. John Neufeld was with the group, and he made a comment once. He says, it was just amazing that he could now walk the same streets that Paul walked when he first brought the gospel to that city. But here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So the first thing Paul does in this letter, he introduces himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ who has been called by God, and he is doing God's will. And then he addresses the people that he writes to as saints. Saints who have a faith in Christ Jesus. now who are blessed because of it. Now, what is a saint? Well, when we read about some of the Orthodox churches that you could say they were very old Orthodox churches. They apply the word saint to anyone, to people who are spiritually elite. Now, I don't know what it would mean to be spiritually elite. But in the New Testament, a saint, the name saint, or the word saint, applies to anyone who has their sins forgiven because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I know some Orthodox churches, they don't determine someone to be a saint until after he has passed away. They look at all the things that he has done, and then they determine whether he can be a saint or not. But here in Ephesians, being a saint applies to anyone who has had their sins forgiven through their faith in Jesus Christ. Then in verse 2, Paul continues with his greeting. And this is the greeting that I use this morning when I started. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in verse 3, Paul starts talking about being blessed. And he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have been talking about how we are blessed because of our faith. Then Paul says in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord. He all of a sudden applies the word blessed to our God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, to be blessed also means to honor and exalt, to be worthy of worship and adoration. I have to admit, that does not apply to us. When Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he uses the meaning to honor and exalt, and God and our Lord Jesus Christ are the only ones that are worthy of worship and adoration. To honor and exalt only applies to God the Father and to our Lord Jesus Christ. They are the only ones who are worthy of worship and adoration. In Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Peter brought his first message, and it tells us in verse 32 to 33 that Jesus was raised from the dead by the right hand of God, and he was exalted. So God himself exalted his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why it says here, Paul writes, we are to honor and exalt our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But then in verse 3, Paul continues talking about those who are blessed, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now he is talking about the blessings that we have received from God because of our faith in Jesus. And what are the blessings we have received? verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now we have to remember here, God is talking to the faithful. And here Paul says, God has chosen those that have faith to be holy and without blame because of his love for them. And to be holy and without blame means to be set apart that can only be because we are forgiven of our sin because of God's love. John 3:16 tells us, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So because because Jesus has died on the cross for our sins and we are forgiven, we become holy and without blame because of God's love for us. So here Paul tells us we are chosen because we are forgiven of our sin. Then in verse 5 and 6, verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, to be predestinated means that we are predetermined to be adopted as God's children, according to the good pleasure of God's will. And it is God's will that we are saved because of our faith and what Jesus did on the cross for us. And every time someone is saved by faith in Jesus, God is pleased. Then in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We praise him because of the abundant grace he has poured upon us in order to make us acceptable to him. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, to be redeemed means to regain possession of us by paying a price. And that price was Jesus' death on the cross, who has rescued us from sin and the penalties of sin. And that can only happen because of the riches of God's grace. And if we go to verse 11, it talks about an inheritance. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. All those that are chosen, all those that are predestinated to be adopted, all those who are forgiven of their sin because of God's grace will receive an inheritance according to the will of God. Now, what is an inheritance that we will receive? If we turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it talks about an inheritance. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. In verse 14, it says, if we are led by the Spirit of God, we are his children. When do we receive that Spirit? When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we receive the Spirit of God. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, he introduces him to those, to others that he is baptizing. And I would like to read one verse in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John the Baptist says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." John the Baptist could not give anyone the Holy Spirit. That Spirit had to come from above, and it came through Jesus Christ, who was baptized. And we also all know that when Jesus was baptized, the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. And that Spirit is available to us. If we go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 15, it says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Our inheritance will be that we will be joint heirs with Christ. We will inherit a place that will be prepared for those that know God. We may be persecuted. We may suffer because of our faith. But we will also be glorified together with him, just as he was glorified when God raised Jesus from the dead. Then in verse 18, Romans chapter 8, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So we are blessed because we have faith in Jesus Christ. We are blessed and we are chosen to be holy without blame because we are forgiven of our sin. We are predestinated to be adopted as God's children, and we will receive an inheritance because we are joint heirs with Christ. That inheritance will be in eternity. So in closing, I would like to read where Paul continues in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. "That we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." So in closing, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to become faithful in Christ Jesus. We thank you that if we are faithful, that we are chosen to be holy and without blame, that we can repent and be forgiven of our sin, that we are predestinated to be adopted as God's children, that we will receive an inheritance of salvation and hope of eternity. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So in closing, for those that are able, let us kneel in silent prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us. close, I have a question for you. How did you know I was going to talk about being blessed? And you chose blessed assurance. Perfect. If we have reached the conclusion of our service this morning, and I would like to thank you for being here and joining in our worship, I will now close with a benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. And may you go in peace with the Lord.